I invite you to have James chapter 1 open. We're going to be looking at verses 16 to 18 this morning. And in this wonderful letter of James, he's been speaking to us, addressing our minds and our hearts as we face trials of various kinds in life. And so this section of God's Word, so far we've seen, has a lot to do with how we think and how our affections and our desires and our will is active during times of trial, various kinds of trials, from small to great. And James wants us to think and to desire rightly and to remain steadfast under trial. And so if you're in trial this morning, whether it's small or large, James is speaking to you here in our verses for this morning. And so we're going to begin here by reading the passage, and I invite you, if you're able, to rise for the reading of God's Word here from James chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So James begins, he says, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Do not be deceived. Thinking correctly matters more than you may realize. Good theology, true thinking about God, is of immense practical value. It provides comfort in our challenging, trial-filled lives. And here in our passage, it's as if James lovingly puts his arm around us, my beloved brothers, to shore us up and comfort us for the various trials of life with some good theology. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. In summary, in this section, there's three points of theology he wants us to understand and not be deceived about. I'll list them here, and then we'll go through them and unpack them more through the sermon. One point of theology he wants us to understand is that every good thing we have is a gift from God. Every good thing we have is a gift from God. And then another thing is that God, who is good and doesn't change, therefore, ever only gives good gifts. And then the third thing is that God, who is almighty, will bring his good plan to completion. And our being born again, brought forth by the word of truth, is a sample of what's to come for the whole creation when he makes all things new. And so James wants us to see that God is a good God. He gives good gifts. And this is really important to hang on to when we're going through trials. And you may start wondering, is God good in this trial? You know, Job faced a similar sort of thing, and he came through his trial. He never cursed God. He came through with a deeper knowledge and understanding of God's goodness, even though some of how God works in our lives is inscrutable to us. It's beyond our comprehension. But James wants us to know that in life, as we're facing trials, whenever, we need to remember and know that God is good and he gives good gifts. And so this next part of the verse, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Again, every good thing we have is a gift from God. He is good and gracious and generously giving, and the lights he created reflect, however finitely, something of himself. So you look up at night and you see the stars shining, you see the sun during the day. The lights that God created reflect, however finitely, they're created things. They're not infinite, but they reflect, however finitely, something of himself. Light symbolizes truth. You know, it reveals, it shows, it symbolizes truth and goodness. There's a purity and a brilliance to light. It symbolizes goodness and it symbolizes life. Plants, for example, need life to grow. And so we see that light symbolizes truth and goodness and life. And as it says in 1 John 1:5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. As the creator and father of lights, so every good and perfect gift is from him, included, we are reminded, with gusto this time of year, the gift than which none greater can be conceived. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So, as the giver of every good thing we have, let us ever be a grateful people, even when we face trials, knowing, as James has already driven home, that God is working good for us and our growth and maturity through trials. We have so much to be thankful for, more than we comprehend. And James is reminding us that every good gift that we have, every good thing that we have been given, comes ultimately from the hand of our Heavenly Father. And so let us, as his children, as his people, count our many blessings and give our gift-giving God glory and thanks. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. And then he goes on and he says, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. You know, our lights, you can even look at these right here. You see some are brighter than others. Some have some shadows in them, and they could be even more brilliant. I got a headlamp from my folks for Christmas. It's 350 lumens. I was kind of curious, what's the brightest light that you can buy? And there was a surgical light that was thousands of lumens. It was also thousands of dollars. And then there was this other one I think you could buy. It was like 100,000 lumens or something like that. And then after a minute, it dropped down to 25,000. Well, I thought this 350 one's pretty bright. And it is. Well, all those lights have the potential of even being greater, even being brighter. But James wants us to know that as light eternal, our Heavenly Father is unlike created lights in that his brightness is infinitely brilliant and full, and so perfectly shadowless and changeless in his glorious divine nature. So the created lights tell us something of God. They reflect something of his glory in that he is the life giver, he is good, he is true, and yet, as created things, they're also unlike him in that they can't match his brilliance and his changelessness, his infinitude. And so James says, with whom are the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. He doesn't change. So now he's building. Not only is every good thing we have a gift from God, but also because he doesn't change, he gives only good gifts. The same giver of good gifts in the past is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Like he was good to the people of Israel in the Exodus, so he's good to his people today. That because he doesn't change, he gives only good gifts. As he has been and given, so he will be and give. So all good things and only good things are from him. That's important to remember in trials, especially when they're inscrutable to us to some degree about how this is working together for our good. James wants us to know and to always remember that all good gifts are from our Heavenly Father, and the gifts that he gives to us are only good gifts. It's not a mixture of good and bad gifts. And so, and James drives this point home, as I say, with pointing out that with God there is no variation or shadow due to change. Like created lights vary and change, not so, however, God. You see, in God, there is no potential in him. There's no potential shining in him. He, in his being, is fully actual. Theologians refer to this as God is pure act. There's no potential in him. What potential means is that thing could be more could be more maximal than it is. If I'm potentially stronger than I am, it means that I'm not as strong as I could be. If I'm fully actualized in my strength, that means that it's as strong as it as I could be. There's no more any potential in me. Well, the only one who is fully pure act and maximally actualized and alive is God. Maximally alive in that sense. Created things vary and change. There's potential with created things, but with God, there is no untapped potential shining in Him. His shining is maximal and fully actual, maximally glorious, and therefore never varies or changes. He can't be greater than He is. There's no room or potential for change or greater maximalization. I am who I am, he told Moses. God can't become more actually glorious than He already and eternally is. Theologians refer to this as God's immutability. That is, His changelessness. He does not change in His divine nature. If He had any unactualized potential in His divine being, this would allow for change or improvement in Him. But James tells us this is not so, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God does not become or change in His divine nature. He is fully actualized, maximally glorious and alive. He is, as God told Moses, I am who I am in Exodus 3:14. And so God is the same yesterday and today and forever. And so, He is fully reliable and perfectly trustworthy. Because He was good to His people in the past, so we know He will act to us, His people, in the present and in the future. He's fully reliable. And when we're going through trials, He's the same God, yesterday, today, and forever. He's as good as He always was and ever will be. And so James says, don't be deceived, brothers and sisters. Whatever you're going through and whatever might change in or around you, God hasn't changed. He never does. With Him, there is no variation or shadow due to change. He loves us with the same love that He showed us at the cross. So let us trust Him in every season or circumstance, without reservation, fully and wholly, regardless of how much sense we can make of what's going on in our lives. We know that God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. With Him, there is no variation or shadow due to change. Now, this word, he says, part, he says, of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So this is one of the good gifts that God has given to us, is that He brought us forth by the word of truth. You see, God gave us, who are believers in Christ, God gave us new birth, and by His will He gave us new birth. He says, of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So we see in this verse that not only has God given us a gift of new birth by His will, but we who have been given new birth are first fruits of the harvest to come. First fruits of what is going to happen to all of creation when on that day He says, behold, I make all things new. And so we are a sample of the harvest to come. We're a first fruits. We're the first part of the harvest to come. We're part of the harvest, but we're the first part of it that is the sample of the rest to come later. So He says, of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So you see, God gave us new birth. This is one of His generous and glorious gifts. Gave us new birth and made us part of His family. So we've been born again and are now children of His. With all the love and inheritance that Scripture speaks about that we have as co-heirs with Christ. And we who have been given new birth are first fruits of Him making all things new in His time. Now notice it says that of His own will He brought us forth. that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is his work by his power. So not only is God perfect in his goodness and so reliable in his character, he's also perfect in his power. He's almighty. And we as first fruits are a sample and guarantee of what he will do for all of creation one day by his power, of his will, James says, of his own will. So his will to give us new birth, and as the creator of lights, as the one who's going to bring about all things new on that day that Revelation speaks about, Revelation 21:5, this is by his almighty will. So not only is he fully reliable in his character, he is, and in his goodness, he's also fully reliable in his ability or power. So you see, God, our Heavenly Father, is fully reliable in every sense you can think of. He doesn't just intend well and intend good. He has the power, the maximal power, to do what he intends and wills. And so James says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And so God is working and will bring to completion his good plan. This is another one of his good gifts that the Father of lights gives. Our new birth that he has given us and will give to all those to come who will be born again, as well as what he's going to bring about for all creation. So not only does he have perfect character, as I mentioned, but also perfect power. He's fully reliable in every sense, and James wants us to realize this as we're facing trials of various kinds as well. This word, this phrase, he brought us forth, is also translated or rendered as he gave birth to us. He brought us forth, or he gave birth to us. This is speaking of our regeneration, our being born again, or the birth from above. It's translated both ways, born again or from above, in John 3:3. And I think it has there in both senses. So in John 3:3, Jesus spoke to Nicodemus about this when he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again or from above," it's a new birth from God. Says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John speaks of this earlier in his first chapter as well, in verses 12 through 13, when he says this. He says, "But to all who did receive him," Christ, "who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Born of God, born of the will of God. And Peter speaks of this as well in 1 Peter 1:23-25. It says this, "Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God," through the living and abiding word of God, "for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever." Notice how similar this is to what James has just said when he says, "Of his own will he brought us forth," or gave birth to us, "by the word of truth." By the word of truth. And so this being born again, that we are first fruits of what God is going to do one day for all of creation in making all things new, this being born again by God is by his will, by his sovereign will. And this being born again is that God, by his will, gives a person a new heart or nature with new and holy sensibilities, dispositions, and abilities, resulting in his or her conversion to Christ. This being born from above, born again. And this new birth is a sovereign and gracious miracle of God's will. It's by his will, as James says. And so it occurs by the quickening power of the Holy Spirit with, and this is borrowing from a commentator's phrase, objective medium, with the objective medium of the word of truth or gospel. So when James says, he says, "Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth," we see that it's by his power and it's with the word of truth that he quickens us unto. And so it's with the proclamation of the gospel, the word of truth, that the Holy Spirit, when he so moves, makes a person alive to believe it. So our new births were miracles of God's will. As James says, of his own will he brought us forth. So those of us who are in Christ, who believe in him, we have been born again by the will of God, by the gracious will of God, and in connection to the hearing of the word of truth, that by his will we were made alive to receive this gospel that we heard proclaimed. And so this, our new birth happened when we heard the gospel, and God made us alive by the power of the Spirit to receive it. So we've been given a new heart, and as his children, a new place in his family, not because we deserved it, but because it was his good and gracious will to give us that good gift. So James says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And so every good and perfect gift, as James says, is from above, including our new birth, the gospel that's proclaimed to us and our reception of it. These are all ultimately gifts from God. These are his good gifts to us. And we, as first fruits of what he's going to do for all of creation, what he's going to do on that day is also one of his good gifts to come. And our new birth is a sample of what he will do then. Paul writes about a similar thing in Romans 8:19 through 21. Paul says this. He says, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. You see, we, as those who have been born again and made God's children, we are first fruits, samples of what he's going to one day do for the whole creation. We're a first fruits of the harvest to come. So this is another gift that we have to look forward to, that God will give to us, is what Revelation 21:5 says, in which it says, God from the throne speaking, behold, I am making all things new. So our Father of lights is so good, so generous, the giver of every good and perfect gift. And James wants us to realize that as we're in the middle of various trials in life of various kinds. Don't be deceived, he says. Don't be deceived. Good theology has a massive practical importance. And one of the ways that it does is that it shores us up, it strengthens us, it comforts us, it steels our minds and our hearts to remain steadfast and endure under trial, knowing that God doesn't change, he is all good, and he gives good gifts, and he's at work in our lives giving good gifts to us, even while we're under trial. And so God is infinitely good and powerful and so entirely trustworthy in every sense. So let us not be deceived to ever think otherwise, even under severe and inscrutable trials like Job's was. In fact, James is going to come back to Job later on in chapter 5 and refer to Job's patience, Job's steadfast endurance under trial. So in closing, brothers and sisters, let's remain steadfast under trial, ever trusting and loving and worshiping the Father of lights, with whom there is no change or variation of shadow due to change, who is our gracious, gift-giving, good Heavenly Father. Would you pray with me? Father, we do thank you for your word, for your revelation, that shines a light into our hearts and into our circumstances that we face, even inscrutable trials that we may not comprehend how this is all working for our good and your glory. But we know that whatever we face, we know that that you are good all the time, there's no change with you, and that you're the giver of every good gift that we have, and all gifts that you give are good. And you have brought us forth by the word of truth, which is a first fruits of what you're going to do for all of creation. And we know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that you love us, and that you're good, and that you are working all things together for our good. You're all good, all wise, and all powerful. And so I pray that as we face trials of various kinds, that we would do so with hearts and minds shaped and informed by these truths of your unchangeableness and your character and your power, which is perfect and glorious. And so strengthen us in these truths, that we might endure and stand fast whatever situation and trial we're facing, knowing with James' arm around us as our brother, my beloved brothers, knowing that you are our Heavenly Father, the Father of lights, who loves us and is good to us with a love and a goodness that is beyond our comprehension. And so pray that we would be strengthened, that by your grace we would remain steadfast, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.